question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Robert, Mary, and Rudy anytime on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at RM World Travel. Now, back to RM World Travel.
Go America. Thanks for being part of our big broadcast today. Mary and I appreciate you being aboard with us as it is stop five of RM World Travel's Let's Go America tour. And we are coming to you from the Four Seasons Hotel, Washington, D.C. This portion of the program is sponsored by Preferred Hotels and Resorts.
It is. And, you know, travel comes in a lot of different forms. Whether you're on the move for leisure or maybe you're starting to travel for business again, we do encourage you to consider the more than 700 Preferred Hotels and Resorts properties in 80 countries around the world.
They keep growing, folks. And when you decide where's next, Preferred Hotels and Resorts, well, they've got you covered. That could be whether it's top luxury resorts, big city hotels, longer stay residence properties, or just something different. We also have you covered. Just go to our website, rmworldtravel.com. Click on the I Prefer banner right there at the top of the homepage. You can enroll in elite status as a listener of our show. It's for free, and you can make your travels more rewarding.
All right, so this is radio, but everyone listening, folks, I'm smiling because we are about to welcome to the show Richard Abulafia, who many of you listening regularly already know who he is. He's on frequently. This is the first time we're meeting in person. He's one of America's top aviation analysts, and he's a vice president with the Teal Group.
And his daughter as well. So, Richard, for what's going to be your ninth appearance on the program with us, but I agree with Mary, you know, it's first time in person. Welcome to America's number one travel radio show.
It's so great to be on. Thanks so much for doing this.
Well, thank you. Listen, and your daughter's here
great
as well, so
you.
It's great
yes.
to have her.
She's taking
so,
all the photos today.
Exactly right.
Very
so
helpful.
Our producers are back in New York. I will just let you know when you hear that. So we're all good with photos that are coming your way. But, you know, we mentioned at the start of hour one, I should say, you know, today is the 20th anniversary of 9/11. I'm interested, Richard, I mean, since aviation is your thing, getting your thoughts on the major changes in the aviation sector of travel since that terrible day. And, I mentioned last segment with Mark and Greg, do you see any comparisons to the industry trying to rebound from the coronavirus pandemic?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, first of all, no matter what has happened since that terrible day, I'm so thrilled to report that people have gotten back out there. You know, if anything, air travel growth globally and in the U.S. has outperformed what it was before. So people were determined to get out there and see the world. And that's such an important part of, well, people understanding each other at the end of the day. So from this industry standpoint, I'm thrilled that we had exactly the right response. You get out there, see the world, meet people. And that's a very happy story, I think, on a lot of levels. Are there comparisons? Yeah, very definitely. Unfortunately, the numbers are a little daunting. You know, at the end of 2001, air traffic fell relative to 2000 by about 3%. Last year, relative to the previous year, fell by 66%. This was the whole system, like most of the economy, going into what one economist called a kind of medically induced coma, if you will. And I guess the only way to put a positive spin on this, which I think is accurate, is that when you fall like that, you have an amazing recovery. And we're starting to see that in some key markets. And we're going to continue seeing it as the Delta epidemic, or hopefully that part of the pandemic, gets taken under control.
Wanes, yes.
Yes.
Richard, in a post 9/11 world, we have fewer airlines and less competition. And I mentioned on the show a few weeks ago that airfares really haven't changed that much over the past 25 years. There are factors for that. Obviously, inflation when you factor it in, but it's sort of interesting. Competition, technology. From your role as an analyst, what do you think about the value that airlines are providing for us today?
I mean, that's a great question. You know, look, there's no question in real terms, we've been gently deflating. You know, you maybe not show up at when you want it to show up, when you want to fly somewhere, but in aggregate over time, every so often you see a little step reduction in what it costs. And that, of course, is a terrific stimulus for people flying. That's what you want. That's what catalyzes market growth. Can we keep going with that? Well, we're, you know, obviously kind of running out of ways to control costs, but I think it's been a very positive story.
So here we are, you know, in the nation's capital today, Richard. It's the home to so many government agencies, obviously. It has me thinking of the FAA. And really, the fiasco involving the Boeing 737 MAX, you know, it's hurt the FAA's reputation, clearly. But we have such an antiquated, you know, air traffic control system in this country still. You know, some of it dates back to the 40s, the 50s, you know, the 60s, and I could, you know, we could go on. So do you think we're ever going to see a modern air traffic control system? Because when you think about commercial jets, cargo jets, you know, drones now, all this, the skies are busy.
They sure are. And they're only getting busier,
right?
Especially during this recovery, which, you know, it's going to put new challenges and strains on the system. I'm confident we will. We'll be dragged kicking and screaming into the 1990s.
1990s, thank you.
You know, you look at what we need to do. It's a GPS-based system. It's, you know, implemented globally. We're moving towards it. The FAA has an awful lot on its plate. And part of the problem, of course, is adequate resources. You know, there's been this mantra of starve the beast, you know, about government. And sometimes I get where that's coming from, but sometimes it goes too far. And the FAA, frankly, should not have been under-resourced. And I think it needs to be given the resources needed to do this job. And, of course, also to make sure it has the people to do the hands-on inspections needed to certify jets without any of the controversies that affected us during the 737 MAX challenge. I think we're going to get there. I think we've gotten that message, and those resources will be provided.
Well, that's encouraging news because, I mean, it's a little daunting with what's out there right now.
Absolutely. No, there's, as you say, been a few reputational hits, and obviously from the standpoint of air traffic management, you know, some of it does look a little creaky. But, you know, on the other hand, the system has had incredible growth, and the MAX has grabbed a lot of headlines. But you look at it, the last decade, you know, in U.S. airspace, not a single death. I mean, that's incredible from an air, from a transportation standpoint. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
just, right. That alone.
That alone.
Yeah.
And that shows that you're dealing with some real professionals here.
Yeah. So I want to talk to you about some of these low-budget airlines that are cropping up. Over the past month, we've been talking with executives at United, American, and Breeze Airways, Dave Neilman. As you know, Richard is back with Breeze, his new airline. He shared some of his ambitions with us back in August. Do you think Breeze Airways or the other new startup, Avelo, what are your thoughts on these airlines taking some of these routes that the big three just aren't offering?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch. You know, there are a lot of failures in the history of creating low-cost and ultra-low-cost carriers, but the idea fundamentally is good. You go to the underutilized, smaller airports, typically in the suburbs, and, well, say, hey, look, traveler or would-be traveler, maybe if we came to your town, you'd travel, and would you like to go to Florida or whatever?
Right.
And Allegiant was one of the great successes with this. You know, get out there and, you know, hey, people in Dubuque, would you like to go to Vegas this weekend? And, you know, they made a lot of money doing that. And hey, that's fantastic in terms of total system growth. Now, having said that, yeah, you can go badly wrong here. Obviously, if there's a double dip in terms of air travel demand.
We're seeing that. The business traveler is not back out there right now.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, there could be capital challenges. People giving you money, you know, the terms of debt could go up. You know, there's any number of things that could go wrong. But you know, I just welcome innovation because it really does get more people into the system.
So as you take a look right now, we're past Labor Day weekend. Kids are back in school. We're not doing remote learning. I'm curious if you, you know, and what we just said, the volume of travelers is down. Okay, business travelers, people are not back in offices to the level that we all expected they would be. So that's down. Are there any of the airlines out there that maybe the... Yeah, I'll say the yellow light, but it could be the red light that's flashing that has you concerned I don't know. Or conversely, is there an airline that you think right now that's doing all right?
Well, you know, it's hard to identify winners and losers because it's really just the U.S. domestic market. And, of course, you've got carriers with a heavy reliance on international for-profits waiting for borders to open up again and the most important, the crucial transatlantic markets to come back, you know. But, you know, generally you look at the, you know, the Southwests, they're really well positioned. That sort of experienced low cost, they're used to dealing with challenges. You know, but I have a lot of respect for Delta. I think they're doing very well given the circumstances. I'm happy to say the U.S. market in general for airlines looks like it's going to get through this without any major challenges, without any, well, I shouldn't say challenges.
Well, that's encouraging because, as Mary said, listen, the executives we've had on when we were out in Chicago for Stop 4 from United, we've had on with American, and even David Neilman, again, he's back with Airline 5. You know, it'll be more to come. And unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there.
We could keep
going
with you.
We wanted to talk about the 777X because, you know, now we're talking 2023 or what, so who knows. But, Richard, thank you very much for joining us here today live. We appreciate it very much, you coming in. When we were planning Stop 5 and Let's Go America Tour, Mary and I, we were sitting down with our team. We said, all right, Richard Abulafia, we need to make sure he comes in.
Thank you.
It's great to see you in person.
Really, I'm thrilled. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
You.
Really appreciate it. All right, now you can go enjoy the spread that they've put out here for you. And thank you, Alex, for taking care of everybody. All right, folks, up next, we're going to be taking you to Virginia wine country. Mary and I took a drive out to Percival, Virginia on Thursday, where we were married. We had a chance to spend some time with the owner of the award-winning Sunset Hills Vineyard. Stay with us, everyone. The RM World Travel Let's Go America Tour rolls on after these messages.
To join Robert, Mary, and Rudy, call 800-387-8025 or follow us on Facebook and Twitter at RM World Travel. We're coming right back.